sta. Ok, let's go on with this lesson about recording and playback. One possibility for go beyond the traditional technique, which I explained before and which were known since the 70s, so going to modern technology, is to use the so-called virtual microphone. So you start recording with microphone arrays, for example in this case a circular array with 36 positions of the microphone, and from these 36 microphone position you extract high order ambisonic signal up to fifth order. These are the mathematical definition of higher order ambisonics, in which at first order the polar pattern order zero means omnidirectional and that simple. Order one are those 5 of 8 microphone velocity microphone. Order two, as you see here, is cosine of 2 θ, so it is a 4-leaf pattern. Order 3 is cosine of 3 θ, that is a 6-leaf pattern, and so on. In practice, if this is order 0, this is order 1, and you have 2 components of order 1, we are in the horizontal plane in this case. This is order 3, and again we have 2 components of order 3. This is order 2, 4-leafed patterns. This is order 3, 6-leaf pattern, and so on. Oops. So on up to fifth order. Getting signal with such an high order make it possible at playback to get a much better source separation. So if you did record 2 people talking, one next to the other, with first order ambisonics, you will hear the voice of one singer coming also from the other loudspeaker. There is a lot of leakage, of spatial leakage, because first order microphone don't have very narrow directivity pattern like this one. With this technique, with a ring of microphone, you can get much sharper directivity pattern, which provide better separation, better source separation. So then with your 2 loudspeaker, you will hear the voice of one guy coming from only one loudspeaker, and the voice of the second one coming from the second loudspeaker. The problem with this is that you are required to record much larger number of channels. 36 in this example is huge. There are not so many multi-channel recorder capable of recording such large number of channels. 4 channel recording is quite trivial. The very old reel tape recorder with magnetic tape were 4 channels. So in the 70s, when the ambisonic theory was developed, the recorder of the time were fully capable of recording 4 channels. There was no problem. But now, even today, recording 36 channels simultaneously, perhaps on an SD card, is not that easy. It is expensive, the equipment required for making such recording. This is even huger. This is wavefield synthesis. In the 3rd hour, we will see better wavefield synthesis. Here you require hundreds of microphones, feeding hundreds of loudspeakers, all located in the horizontal plane. But this method and this one are horizontal only, no z-axis, no third dimension. But in this case, the microphone sampling, the spatial sampling done by the microphone, is so small, the sampling distance, that you can actually capture the information of the curved wavefront. Of course, the spatial sampling has the same limitation as a waveform sampling. You can make spatial aliasing. The maximum distance between the microphone can be at most half the wavelength. So for recording up to 20 kHz, at 20 kHz the wavelength is 12 mm. You should have a microphone spacing of 6 mm. It means having, for example, a ring of microphone with a 2 meter diameter, which is a quite typical radius for wavefield synthesis, you need to employ several thousands microphones. It becomes prohibitive, this technology. Conceptually is excellent. Practical implementation is another thing. In practice, what you do, usually you don't use wavefield synthesis for make a true multi-channel recording of hundreds or thousands of signals, because we don't have the hardware capable of this even today, and perhaps we will not have it even in the next 10 years. So it's a technology which appears to be very far in the future, but in practice what you can do is a trick. If your source is not a native source, but is your loudspeaker radiating a sine sweep, you can replicate the measurement while the microphone is mounted on a rotating boom and repeat the measurement 300 of times. It just takes time, but it's not impossible. You can do that. So this approach of sampling the spatial sampling with a circle of microphone is actually being implemented with just one microphone mounted on a rotating turntable and sampling the sound field subsequently in all these positions. The nice thing is that this technology captures the information of the distance of the source, and at playback it recreates these curved wavefronts, and these curved wavefronts give to everyone seated in the whole room the impression that the source was in the real position. Okay? So this technology really allows for creating a virtual source with a precise distance. It can even be inside the room. With wavefield synthesis, you can even create a virtual source which is not behind the wall where the loudspeaker are mounted, but appear to be before the wall, in front of the wall, within the room. You can touch it. You can hear, for example, a fly, a mosquito, and a bzzz, calabrone. What's the English name of calabrone? I don't know. you can give the impression that this insect is coming inside the room and going close to your head, and you make so because you hear it very close to your head and then go away. Is impressive. This wavefield synthesis technology is the technology we implemented in the Casa del Suono project here in Parma, which is the biggest wavefield synthesis installation in Italy and one of the three biggest in the world. I think is actually the third one. The largest one is IRCAM in Paris, the Space de Projection, which is more than 600 loudspeakers. The second one is in Germany, in Berlin, is in a cinema actually, is a big cinema, in which they have approximately 300 loudspeakers. Our one is 192 loudspeakers, more or less. So it is the third widest wavefield synthesis installation in the world, and in terms of software is also very advanced. The theory of wavefield synthesis is based on spatial sampling. It's called the Huygens principle. If you have a true source radiating a set of curved wavefronts radiating from the source, you could replicate this source without using a source in this position, but placing instead a number of smaller sources along one of these curved waveforms. Right of this line of loudspeakers, you still get the curved wavefront appearing to come from this source. But with proper delays and gains, you can create a curved wavefront even employing a straight line of loudspeaker. This is called a line array, and it is very frequently employed for concert amplification in stadium, in sport arenas or so on, the use of line array of loudspeaker. With a line array, applying delays and gains, which are not uniform for every loudspeaker, they are different. Each loudspeaker must be controlled independently with separate amplification and separate DSP processing. You can create a curved wavefront also with a linear loudspeaker array. And changing the gain and the delays, you can make this virtual source to appear to be close or far or even in front of the loudspeaker system. Here you see an example. These are actual measurement results. So the system was mounted. This is just on one wall. It is not necessary that the waveform system is a surround system. Our listening group is a surround system. But in other waveform system, synthesis systems, they did only employ one wall or two walls of the room. If you don't want the sound to come from behind the listener, you can create, for example, a virtual stage. This is the stage of the theater, and you place a line of loudspeaker along the base of the stage. And with this line of loudspeaker, you can create the appearance of a source which is on the stage. Okay? As many as you want, actually, not just one. You can create also a whole orchestra in front of you. And the curved wavefront really appear to come from there. This is an infinitely distant source, creating a plane wave coming from one direction and infinite distance, and you see that really the waveform travels through the room, maintaining this plane wave shape. And this is again the trick for creating a source focalized inside the room. So for people seated in this red area here, the curved wavefront arriving appears to come from a source which is within the room. So you can create a source at any distance, from infinite up to you, a touch distance. These are some examples. This is your CAM in Paris, the Space de Projection, where they are mounting this 600 loudspeaker system. This is a small room with a ring of loudspeaker. I think this is in Australia, I think, in Sydney University. This is the cinema in Berlin, as you see. And this one, I think, is in Spain, in Valencia, where my friend José Javier López is also working on this technology. So the workflow is similar to surround. You make your multi-channel recording of orchestra, musician, your singer, and so on. And again, you have panners bringing each soundtrack in the wanted position. And this panner is employed by convolution in the wavefield synthesizer, which can also create the effect of a virtual room. So if you measure with your microphone mounted on the turntable the impulse response of a real room, while doing the convolution, that is the auralization, you can give to those listeners here the impression of the source being positioned at a specific point within a virtual room. So it is really a virtual reality system, wavefield synthesis. It's just not a recording playback system. It's more. It's virtual reality. The limit is 2D only, no elevation. We worked a lot with focalizing system, with an array which focused the sound in a given position, and beyond this focus point, you get the impression of a curved wavefront coming from here and not from the loudspeaker. Okay, this is the formula for computing delay and gains of the loudspeaker for creating the focalization. This is the delay, and this is the gain. There is a common factor. Of course, there are artifacts. Spatial aliasing, because you are not always complying with the spatial Shannon theorem. Again, also with loudspeaker, you should space the loudspeaker maximum half the wavelength. But this is not possible. With microphones, which are very small, you can space them just half centimeter. But how can you do that with loudspeakers, which are always 80 millimeter or 100 millimeter? Even placing one against the next, as you see in these photos here, the distance between one loudspeaker and the next is a few centimeter. Look here. It's 10 centimeter in this case. If they are big, it is even larger. Okay, you can use the trick. In this case, you have three tweeters for each woofer. So for the tweeters, the spacing here is probably just 40 millimeter. But nevertheless, there is a limit. And this limit is usually around 2 kHz. In our room, in Sala Bianca, Casa del Suono, the spatial aliasing limit is 2 kHz. When you exceed this aliasing limit, you get aliasing. Luckily enough, in space, aliasing is not so bad as in frequency. Frequency and aliasing create these spurious peaks which come in the audible spectrum, destroying it completely. Spatial aliasing creates these secondary lobes of radiation which create phantom sources, which are usually more far than the principal one and more weak. As our spatial localization capability is quite bad, we don't have the ear of some predators like the wolf, which can locate their goal at 1 kilometer distance. Our hearing system is not so good. So the presence of these spurious sources behind and weaker the principal one is usually not detectable, so you can accept some amount of spatial aliasing. Here you see the spatial, it's called Nyquist theorem, that is the spatial Shannon theorem. The frequency limit is still called the Nyquist frequency, but the theorem is the spatial Shannon theorem. In this case, you have a variable more than in normal time domain sampling. That is phi, the angle of incidence. If the wave being reproduced by the loudspeaker is parallel to the loudspeaker array, there is no spatial aliasing. Spatial aliasing happens when you attempt to create a waveform which is angled of a certain angle phi. The largest the phi, the lower will be the frequency, the maximum frequency, before spatial aliasing starts to occur. This means that if you have a room in which the loudspeaker are always facing the audience, more or less with stripe incidence, then spatial aliasing is not so bad as you can think. If you want to be able, like now that I am seated here, and if I have the loudspeaker line behind my back, and if I try to create a virtual source which is just behind me, no aliasing. If this source is there, almost tangent with the array, so the sound is traveling close along the array, then, oops, nah. Then phi is very large and the spatial problem is big. There is another source of error, which is a discretization error. Instead of creating a true continuum wave, you are actually radiating the sound by a number of point sources. In practice, it is like if there was a wall between the real source and the listening area, a wall with many holes. The sound you hear is not the real sound which was behind the wall, but it is the sound which is penetrating in your room through this number of holes. If there are holes are close enough, are many and very close each other, the sound arrives not modified, because it is like passing through a transparent grid. If there are only a few holes and they are spaced each other, then of course this interference phenomenon occurs between many discrete radiation points, and here the sound field is not the same as here. That is obvious. This is one piece of open source software available for making spatial panning with wave field synthesis. So this is your virtual space. You can draw a trajectory here, and the trajectory is plotted also here as X and Y component in this Cartesian reference. So this soundtrack, which is called just source one, a long time is not in the same position, but while the time is changing, you see between 27 seconds up to 50 seconds, the sound is moving along this line. In this case, the sound is within the room. You can also have a case where there is the room boundary written here, plotted here. So, you have your room here, and you can have the sound coming in and coming out. For example, this is your room. Here the sound is in the room, coming out, passing through, coming out again. So you hear this sound entering the room. For example, motorcycle. Passing through the room, you get this kind of pattern. If you go visiting the Casa del Suono, you will be able to hear some demos of this technology working there. So here you see the site where we did build this system. It was called the Santa Elisabetta Church. It's in front of Casa della Musica in City Center, Piazzale San Francesco. It was a church not being used as a church anymore, which mostly has been converted to a museum of old radio equipment, the same equipment which is in our corridor here in the Scientific Engineering Faculty. It is the same collection. It was a very huge collection, which the university got as a inheritance after the death of the owner, which was called the collection of Patanet, which was a priest actually. So those blue exhibits are the glass case where all this equipment is shown. So mostly is a museum. But here you see the listening area inside the wave field synthesis room, and this is the control room where the computers control the sound inside the listening room. In the main building of the church, we have another equipment which is called il lampadario sonoro, the sonic chandelier. This is a planar wave synthesis room from above, launching sound down. And this is the listening room, sala bianca, wave synthesis room. Those are the glass cases where the equipment is displayed, and again, also those systems are equipped with line arrays. You see those things here. These are vertical line arrays focusing the sound here where the listening stays in front of a touchscreen computer. You see the line of speaker here mounted between the glass cases, focusing the sound in the position where the user goes for checking on the PC the history of the equipment being displayed and be able to choose the music of the same period corresponding to the period where each of piece of equipment was built. So you can hear the sound of the equipment. The vertical line array are controlled by this QSC basis DSP controller. Again, it is just a trick of delays and gains. And again, this is the software for doing the fusing. And again, also on this DSP unit, we have this kind of graphical programming. For audio, no one writes any more code for controlling. All the programming is done employing this kind of interface. This is the real thing. This photo is taken in the museum. Here you see the LCD control panel. The loudspeaker, almost invisible, are here in the junction between the two glass containers. And when you go here, the sound appears magically at your ears. And it's not all around, it's only for you. So you are not polluting with the music you are listening the whole museum. It keeps the sound focused on the listener. This is the sonic chandelier. The concept is again the same, to keep the sound only here for people staying inside the central area, avoiding to launch loud sound everywhere, because if not, this is a church with 5-6 second reverberation time and it becomes terribly noisy and you cannot understand anything. So we want to keep the sound focused there. In practice, the floor is highly absorbing, the sound is being focused, and the focused sound is moved around the listening area. So the sound is not static, you can have it moving, but in a small area, more or less 1.5 meter diameter is the area where you hear this effect. If you go outside this sitting area, the sound is bad and weak. But by purpose, we don't want to send sound everywhere. Of course, again, at high frequency, you start to get spatial aliasing, and the focused area is smaller. At low frequency, you don't have spatial aliasing, but your focused sound is bigger. You cannot do anything about that. This is when the system was built. Photos during mounting of the system. This is when it was raised. This is the computer controlling the system. It is a single PC with a MADI card. MADI is a technology bringing audio over an Ethernet cable, and it can carry up to 64 channels. So you have 8 digital to analog converter, every one capable of 8 channels, and each converter is feeding an 8 channel power amplifier. So totally here we have 64 channels of amplification, but the loudspeaker are much more than 64 channels, because in practice, the loudspeaker are 226, I think, because they are wired together in groups of or 2 or 3. So in practice, each channel is not feeding one loudspeaker, it's feeding 2 or 3 loudspeakers. Here you see the complete hardware system. It's not expensive. I think the whole rack plus the computer is less than 10,000 euros. And the only other cost are loudspeaker and wires, which are also cheap. So building a system like this one with 64 channels is probably done with less than 30,000 euros, which is not a lot. The whole museum costs a lot, of course, but because there are other factors, building, restoration, paintings, all those glass things for containing the equipment, lights, floors, heating, air conditioning. So the system is expensive. But the audio part is not so expensive. This is the software giving control to the artist, actually, because this is a musical instrument. The sonic chandelier is a special musical instrument where a music composer can choose where the sound comes. And with this graphical user interface, he moves the sound around the listening area, which, as you say, is a ring of limited radius in this case. This is a detail of the software structure. This is the Wi-Fi system listening room, called the White Room, Sala Bianca. It employs 192 loudspeakers and it allows up to 30 listeners. The loudspeakers are embedded in the structure of the wall, so you don't see them. You just see white wall covered by a material like this one, which is good for projecting image over it. And the system in this case requires much more channel, as you see, because in this case every loudspeaker is independently controlled. This instead is the single seat room, the room equipped with high-order ambisonics and stereo dipoles. It has a total of 26 loudspeakers, and this room is in Casa della Musica, in front of Casa del Suono. This is a three-dimensional rendering of this small room. Reverberation time is quite low. There was a thesis of one student dealing with the soundproofing of this small room, and he did employ, he has a very clever idea for controlling low-frequency reverb. He did employ Helmholtz resonator, which were built with those large plastic bottles for water in, you know, those water distributors. And he did steal approximately 30 of these plastic bottles and filling them partially with polyurethane foam, he tuned them for damping the room at very low frequency. This is the sound system of the single seat room. In this case, the number of loudspeakers is smaller, there is a subwoofer, there is the possibility for binaural listening by headphones. This is the room, and you see the separate group of loudspeakers. Stereo standard, an horizontal 8-channel ambisonics rig, a vertical 8-channel ambisonics rig, which can work together with the previous one, giving a complex 16-channel ambisonics rig. Frontal stereo dipole, real stereo dipole, upper stereo dipole. This was an experiment, but it did not work, so we now removed this upper stereo dipole. Okay. Any question? So we can stop here.